He didn't even stop walking. He didn't turn around. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. It's good to be here. It's good to see you all on this Sunday morning. Let me say thank you to those that went out Friday and Saturday to work at the camp. We went out to Shady Green Pastures on Friday and cut a bunch of trees down and cut them up. And then yesterday we had a work bee. And we hauled all the logs to a spot and filled the woodshed for trying to be a blessing to Brother Max, and I think we were. And that was a great help and a good time of fellowship. And nobody went in the pond, and even the young ones didn't. Nobody went fishing. Everybody just stuck right to it and worked. We really made a big dent in 7 large pizzas, though. Amen. And somebody asked me why I ate so much, and I said, why are you keeping track? But it was a good day. And also, let me say thank you to the 4 young men sitting on the front row. Stand up. Turn around. Aren't they fine-looking boys? Amen. Amen. I think that you can sit down. I think we take it for granted. Last year it was mentioned that young preacher boys ought to sit on the front row, and they've sat on the front row ever since, and they dress sharp. Look at, they all got suits on, and their shoes are shined, and they got ties on, their hair's combed, and most of them are taking notes. I mean, that's a blessing to be in a church and have that on the front row, amen? What an example. I think that it would be great someday that we would fill the front row with young people that want to do something for God, and we force those ugly ushers to the back, amen, and get them out of the front row, amen. Let them sit somewhere else. But what a blessing to see them. I'm waiting for them to fill in over there, and it's just every week that I'm able to be here, I look up, and I see these boys in the front row, and sometimes there's even girls there. What a blessing, amen, to be a part of a church that's growing and doing something for God, amen. Well, Matthew chapter 14, let's look at it. Now, I'll pray first, and then we'll read the scripture. And let me just tell you, well, let's pray first. Father, thank you for the day, and thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for those 2 that have been baptized today, for the singing that's been done to glorify your name. Lord, thank you for the good group that's come out, and thank you for the sunshine today and the good weather. Lord, thank you for the rain that you've given the farmers for their crop. Lord, we just ask now, sweet Holy Spirit, that you would be with us today and challenge us out of the Word of God. And Lord, we pray for our pastor as he's preaching on the East Coast today. We pray you give him great services with old friends and family. And then as him and Carrie are able to get away for a few days, give him a good time of relaxation and bring him back. And Father, we sure do need you today. Lord, I pray now as only you can affect the hearts of the hearers. And sweet Holy Spirit, I pray now that you have your will and your way in the service, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Christ's name, amen. Turn to Matthew chapter 14. If you're already there, look at verse number 22. The Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone." Verse number 24, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come on to the water. And he said, Come. And Peter was come down out of the ship. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous and the wind, and he was afraid, he began to sink and cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And when they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. I read this back, my notes say, in January. I read that one morning as a devotion in my office. And I had read this, like many of you, hundreds of times. It's a very well-known portion of Scripture. But that morning, as I was sitting at my desk, I simply took my glasses off, laid my Bible down, and looked up, and I probably did one of these numbers. And you might wonder why I chew on my glasses. I soak them in chocolate. And they taste well. But I probably did one of these numbers, and I simply said, Lord, why? Have you ever did that? Why? Why did you walk on the sea? And as I asked why, I reread this several more times, and he gave me a message that I have really enjoyed, and it has helped me. So I'm going to give you three things this morning. Why Jesus walked on the water, amen? Amen. All right. Number one, Jesus walked on the water because he could. Now, that sounds simple, but listen, because he could. There's a lot of gods today. We're here in Jackson, Michigan, and I told Pastor not long ago, Jackson is probably known for having their head in the sand. We are a fairly small community with not a whole lot of things going on like Detroit and other places. But do you realize today that there are a lot of gods worshiped today? I can't say this in jail, but I can say it here. Listen, Jesus walked on the water, but Allah never did. Buddha never did. Confucius never did. It is amazing that, number one, Jesus walked on the water simply because he could. That's what kind of God we have today. He can do anything. Listen, I don't want a God that has to buy a ticket and wait for the next boat. Man, I want a God, if he wants to, he just walk across the water. Turn in your Bibles to Psalms 139. Put your place there in Matthew 14. Look at Psalms 139, a great portion of Scripture there. And Psalms 139, look in verse number 5. The Bible says, thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot obtain unto it. Listen to verse number 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Hallelujah. It says in verse number 11, and if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even in the night shall be light abound me. Hey, you know what that tells me? There ain't no place we can go that Jesus can't get to us. That ought to be comforting today. Hey, some folks have said, Brother Jones, why do you love going to prison? Isn't that a dark place? And look, we have one just got out of prison. Amen. It's a dark place, but you know what? Even there, God's there. Amen. Boy, I tell you, if you've never been and want to go, let me know. Last Sunday night, I was at Cooper Street Correctional. That's the prison. If you go around the corner on the left, you see the guys playing softball. I was in there last Sunday night, had 105 guys out, preached on the spiritual birth certificate. At the end of the service, I had half of those come forward. Out of probably 50 men that come forward, 22 of them said that they had never been saved, that they do not have a spiritual birth certificate. You say, preacher, what do you do? I led 22 of them to the Lord. That's exciting. 22 men during the service. I looked out. You don't see it in churches. But during the service, I had 3 men weeping. I mean, they were just bawling like babies. I don't know why. It's God. Surely wasn't nothing I was saying. It was God. Listen, when God gets a hold of somebody, he changes you. And listen, number one, Jesus walked on the water because he could. Number two, you like that, don't you? Halfway done. Number two, turn to Matthew, back to Matthew chapter 14. Number one, Jesus walked on the water because he simply could. Number two, he walked on the water because somebody needed him. In Matthew 14, look at verse number 24. The Bible says, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea. Now that word midst is in the middle. It wasn't on the edge. It's in the middle of the sea. And it says, tossed with waves, for the wind was, what's that word? Contrary. Contrary means the winds are blowing this way and maybe this way and this way and this way at the same time. You know where you go when the winds are contrary? Nowhere. Hey, let me ask you, have you ever been in a storm of life? Feels like you're headed nowhere? Have you ever had problems and it just seems like there's, you don't know where to go? I don't know how many times I've talked to somebody and in prison or out of prison, and they say this to me, preacher, I don't know where to go. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. There's no light anywhere. I feel like there's no hope. Pastor Rich went to a funeral 2 weeks ago of a pastor that took his own life. You know why? The winds were contrary. My wife used to work with a lady, and her husband didn't come home for work one day, and she thought he was just late. But he went and bought some rope, and he went to a national park or a state park, and they found him 3 days later hanging from a tree. Why? Because the winds were contrary. He didn't see like there was any way out. But listen to me, I'm thankful that Jesus walked on the water because somebody needed him. Hey, he knew that he couldn't wait. That there was men in the midst of that sea in a storm of their life. And Jesus did what Jesus does. He comes to help us. Hey, if you're here today and it seems like you're in a storm, can I tell you? You ain't nowhere where he can't get to you. You say, preacher, you don't know my life. Doesn't matter what your life is. A couple of weeks ago, me and Brian and Wally was at Pontiac Correctional Facility. Out of most of the men there, Brian, what are most of them? Murderers, rapists, serial killers. I mean, I told Brian, I said, you know, most people in our church don't even know of somebody that has murdered somebody. Let alone if you've ever sat and talked to them, cried with them, or gave them a hug. But we did that all day long, didn't we, Brother Wally? For 2 days, we did that. I'm not bragging. They're bad people. They need to be behind bars. But praise God if they can find Jesus and heal them, amen. Hey, Jesus walked on the water because he could. He walked on the water because somebody needed him. I was thinking about storms. I was thinking about storms that day as my office is. I was asking the Lord why he walked on the water. And I was thinking about that inmate that, probably a month ago, that was in the front row of the women's prison. And I asked for testimonies, and she stood up and she said, preacher, she said, let me give you my testimony. She said, something has dawned on me. She said, I've always prayed that the storms pass me by. You ever pray that prayer? I have. Storms pass me by. She said, preacher, I realized something. Instead of praying that storms pass me by, she said, now I pray that God helps me through the storm. Amen. Hey, we're going to have storms. You mark it down. The church is going to have storms. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego still went into the fiery furnace. You know what the difference is? They had Christ. Hey, I was thinking about storms. Hey, let me just read a couple. Hey, you know Moses was safer. Moses was safer in the midst of the Red Sea than he was in Pharaoh's house. It's a good time to say amen right there. Hey, Jonah was safer in the belly of the whale than he was out of the ship. It'll go quicker if you say it a little louder. Hey, Daniel was safer in the lion's den than he was in king's palaces. Amen. Hey, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were safer in the furnace than they were anywhere else. Joseph was safer in the prison than he was with his brothers. Paul was better off in jail than he was anywhere else. Why? Because Christ was with him in the storm. Let me just As I read this, let me just give you a couple of things that you might not have saw that the Lord pointed out to me that just thrilled me. I want to bring your attention to Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 28. There's two words there. The first two were, and Peter. And Peter. Let me tell you a little bit about Peter. Most of you know. Peter was that guy that, if you go back to when Jesus was in the garden, and let me refresh your memory. Peter is the one that said, Lord, I'm going to be with you till the end. Lord, I'm even there with you till death. Isn't that what Peter said? More or less in today's language, Peter said, Lord, I got your back. I'll be there for you. Till the police showed up. That goes over real well in prison. Not so good here, I guess. Because see, most of those criminals, that's what their friend says. Boy, me and you are together, that's it. Till the red light goes off, and then boom, they're gone. Peter said, I've got you back, Lord. No matter where, even unto death, I've got you back. Well, you know the story. The soldiers came. They arrested Peter. And the Bible says Peter followed him. But the Bible says Peter followed him afar off. I thought about that word afar. That means just to where he kept Jesus in sight. That far. Now remember Peter? Lord, I'm with you till death. Peter was so far back. Finally, when when Jesus was arrested and took in the home there to go through trial, the Bible says that somebody came up to Peter and said, you're one of them. You're one of them. Peter said, I ain't one of them. I ain't one of them. Another one came and said, yeah, you are. You're one of them. Whoops, sorry. I stepped on his number 12 hanging out in the aisle. You're one of them. And Peter said, listen to this, condemning. So we condemn ourselves with our words. Peter said, I don't even know the man. Sad. Then the Bible says a young maiden came. Peter cussed her out. That's what kind of guy Peter was. Pretty sad, huh? But in Matthew chapter 14, yeah, you don't notice anything else. You notice me putting my glasses on upside down, don't you? Yeah. But let's look at Peter in verse number 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come out of the water. Now listen, the boat had at least 11 men in it, at least or more. Peter, that Peter, was the only one that said, hey, let me come out of the water. Now, out of all the people, Pastor told me this. He wanted to know what I was preaching to make sure it was okay, I think, or whatever. He said, what are you preaching, Brother Jones? And he said, preacher, you know what I think about that? He said, there's a lot of men that's rowed in boats. There's millions of people that have rowed in boats. But he said, there's only one man that ever walked down the water outside of Christ. That's Peter. You know, I'm glad that Peter's in this portion of Scripture because if God can use a man like Peter, there's hope for me and you. If all the men in the Bible, if all the men were just like Joseph and Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and some of those, I'd feel like there ain't no hope for me. There certainly wouldn't be any hope for you. But listen. God used Peter. Let me just show you a couple of things with Peter. Because I always cut Peter short. I always thought, and maybe some of you were like me, I always pictured, nod your head if you pictured this way, that when Peter said, Lord, bid me to come, I pictured Peter was in a rowboat, and Peter stood up and stepped out like that. And I pictured that Peter walked about two steps. And down he went. Is that how you saw it? Me too. But as I was asking the Lord why, I thought maybe I've cut Peter a little bit short. So I started doing some checking. Number one, they didn't have rowboats on the sea. Those were big boats. You look back in history, them boats that sailed across, they was big ones. They weren't little ones. And then as I as I started looking at the ships, I started to look at, look what the Bible says in Matthew 14. Look at verse number 29. And he said, come. And Peter had come down out of the ship. You see that? You know what? I don't think that Peter just simply went like this and stepped out. I think Peter had to climb down a rope. I'll almost guess now that the rope didn't even go to the water. I almost think now that Peter went down the end of the rope and there was still a little bit. There might have been 3-4 feet and Peter had to let go. And down the water he went. Doesn't that make that a lot more amazing? I also thought that Peter probably only stepped 1 or 2 steps and down he went. But I ain't so sure of that because look, verse number 27, straightway Jesus, verse number 26, and when the disciples saw him walk on the sea, they were troubled, saying it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. Now Jesus, listen, Jesus was far enough that they couldn't get a good look on him. He was far enough away from that boat. He wasn't right next to the boat. They'd have known it was him if he was as close to, as I am to Fred. He was yet a way off, I think. And Peter, and Peter got out of the boat. You know what? Peter might have walked a city block. Peter just didn't step out of the boat. Peter came down out of the boat. Peter just didn't take a couple steps. You know what? Peter very likely could have walked from here to the pole barn on that water. Say, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? It shows you just how good Christ is. It just shows how good God is to us. Amen. Hey, it wasn't. They want to explain away the miracles of Christ. But listen, Peter probably came a great distance down that pole. Peter probably walked a great distance. But let's see what Peter did that was wrong. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it, verse number 28, if it be thou, bid me to come on to the water. Now, you don't need to close your eyes, but I do. I'm thinking of Peter now. I'm thinking of Peter in that boat, and I'm picturing Peter cupping his hands saying, Lord, Lord, if it is you, bid me to come out. I want to try it. I think I've got enough faith. Jesus, let me come out and let me see if it's real. And I picture that. I picture Peter coming down that rope or that ladder, and I picture him hanging on, and he's slid all the way down until there's one knot left on the rope, and he's looking down, and he's looking at that distance to the. And the Bible says the waves were hitting against the boat. It wasn't a calm sea. It wasn't flat like this. There was maybe 2 or 4 foot waves, and I could imagine Peter looking down, and he's got a hold of that last knot, and he's about to let go, and I almost picture him saying under his breath, "But it's him." It's him. I know I can do this. It's because it's him. And he lets go and he lands on the water. I picture him as he looks at Christ as I'm looking at that clock. And he pictures Christ. He sees Christ and he's starting to walk. And at first he's scared, but then he's doing it. He's actually getting it done. And I can imagine Peter, he's probably thinking, I can't believe this. But the Bible says, look at verse number 14, or chapter 14 and verse number 30. But when he saw the wind, boisterous. Anybody ever see the wind? You see the results of the wind. You see the paper cups spinning and the paper, the wrappers on the straw spinning around in the wind. But you don't see the wind. You know what Peter did? Look what it says. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And the Bible says, and he began to sink. A couple of things jumped out at me in that portion of Scripture, and that's this. Everyone in this room, including myself, has dreams. Every one of us. Even the oldest. Their dream's just to get up tomorrow morning, amen. But whatever, you have a dream. You all of us, we're looking forward to summer and vacations or whatever it is. All of us in this room have a dream. You young people, you don't even realize yet how much is in store for you. We all have dreams. And listen, oftentimes they have something to do with God. And they ought to. But there's always that voice that says, oh, you won't do that. You won't go to Bible college and you'll never find a wife. I don't know what to say about you. No, I'm picking on these boys. I love them. Listen, we all have dreams. We all do. Hey, I still have a dream. I want to be a firefighter. And I'm almost 50, so that's probably going downhill, amen. But my point is, we all have dreams. Now, I'll tell on her, but Miss Rice comes when nobody else is here because she had a dream of playing the piano. And I can remember when she first came. It's almost like chopsticks. She's going to kill me. But it was, I hear her in my office. I'm like, who are those? Some kids up there. But you know what? I hear her now. She's good. You know why? She had a dream. She had a desire to do something for God. Listen to me this morning. You say, preacher, I'd love to go to prison and soul win. I'd love to go on visitation. I'd like to preach. I'd like to lead music. Whatever you'd like to do, listen to me. When Peter said, Lord, let me come out on the water. I don't read here where Jesus said, take a 12-week water walking class. I don't see where Jesus said to him, do this, and this, and then we'll see about it. We'll have a deacon's meeting, and we'll take a vote. I don't see that in there, do you? Do you see where Jesus tells Peter? Now, remember Peter, he's a mess. I don't see where Jesus even said, Peter, repent of your sins and do this and this, and then you come out on the water and be worthy to walk out. I don't even see that in there. I simply see one word. And he not even told it to Peter. He's telling it to us this morning. Come. Come. Look there, Josh got up. It's coming. No, I'm just picking on him. Come. Preacher, I'd like to be a missionary. Come. Hey, Brother Jones, I'd like to be a pastor, a youth pastor. Come. I'd like to marry a preacher. Come. I'd like to be a piano player. Come see Miss Debbie. Come. Come. See, we want to say, well, God, I don't think God's in it. If it's good, God's in it. Amen. And the second thing I want to point out before I move to the last point and let you go home is this. Look back in our portion of Scripture. Verse number 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, and he was afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried out, saying, Lord, what's the next two words? Say it again. Say it louder. Say it again. Save me. Hey, Peter said, Lord, save me. And you know, if I was the Lord, I probably would have waited until he went up and down three times. Every time he come up to gasp for water, I'd say, you're going to do that again? You're going to keep your eyes on me next time? But the Bible doesn't do that. Listen, some of you in this room, you think God's like your dad. I worked with Don way in the back. Wave at me, Don. Wave at me. There you go. All the last 2 days, he told me about what his dad told him. Now, most of them I can't repeat. No, I'm just kidding. But we do that, don't we? As we get older, do we not say, my daddy told me? Do we not do that? It's scary to know we're getting a lot like our dads, ain't we, Brother Ken? But you know, God ain't like our daddies. God ain't like our pastors, the 3, 4, 5 they've had in this church history. God ain't like that. The Bible says Peter cried and said, Lord, save me. And I want you to read and see the next two words of verse number 31. And, say it again. How long?
Y'all ain't saying it. How long?
Immediately. Hey, you mean to tell me if I come down and say, Lord, save me, He'll do it?
Yeah.
You mean those 22 men meant it last Sunday night?
If they meant it, they did. They all got in.
Didn't they have to go to a class, preacher, and prove themselves?
No.
Oh, I'm sure there's a waiting period. A grace period.
I like that.
No, there's no grace period. The Bible says when Peter said, Lord, save me, just like that, He saved him. You know how long it'll take to get you right or get you saved today?
Immediately.
As soon as you turn to Him and say, Lord. See, Peter didn't call 911. Peter didn't call the local Coast Guard. I'm sorry, you Coast Guard people. He didn't do that. Peter simply turned to the Lord and said, Lord, save me. And the Bible says immediately he was saved. Let me wrap this up. Number one, Jesus walked on the water because he could. Number two, Jesus walked on the water because somebody needed him. Let me just throw this one more thing in. Look at verse number 25. It almost slipped away. Verse number 25, the Bible says, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went and them walking the sea. Anybody know what time the fourth watch is? Well, Jeff, what time's the fourth watch? What time is it? 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Ain't you glad that even in the middle of the night, God's never busy? Ain't you glad at 3 o'clock in the morning you can say, Lord, I need you. And you don't get an answer machine that says office hours are from 8 a.m. like you do at your doctor's office. Amen. Hey, don't call me at 3 o'clock in the morning. You'll just get grumpy. I mean, don't call me at 3 o'clock in the morning. Don't call Pastor at 3 o'clock in the morning. You don't know if you'll get him or not. But I'm thankful that even in the fourth watch, the middle of the night, Christ can get to where you're at. You can't sleep, He'll be there. Even in the fourth watch. Jesus walked on the water number one because He could. Jesus walked on the water because, number two, somebody needed Him. And thirdly, and I'll close with this, Jesus walked on the water because somebody needed a miracle. They needed a miracle. The Bible says in the end of that portion of Scripture in verse number 33, it said, when they that were in the ship came, or excuse me, let me go back one. And when he had come under the ship, the wind ceased. That means this whole time now, the wind's been blowing hard. But it says that when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased, stopped. Verse number 33, and when they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. Even with all those disciples that seen through the last years, yet that miracle that night came when Jesus walked on the water and they said, it is true. It's true. It's true. It's true. Can I tell you, church, this morning, it's true. He is the Son of God. He can meet your need. And He can fix your problem. He really can. Let me tell you about being a miracle. Say, preacher, I need a miracle today. I was in a church, I don't know how long. Heather, if you come on the piano, we'll go to invitation in a minute. I was in a church, and I was there early. And I was up mingling with the folks, shaking their hands and telling jokes and stuff. And some little old lady came up to me, and she looked like she was probably in her 70s or 80s. I guess that's not old. And an elderly lady, and she kind of pulled me down to her. True story. And she said, preacher, she said, you see that handsome young man in the back of the church? And I kind of squinted, and I said, yeah, I see him. He was handing bulletins out at the door. She said, preacher, that's my miracle. Well, I thought she was going to tell me that when he was birthed, the cord was wrapped around his neck, or he had been in a car accident or something like that. That's what I expected. I said, ma'am, why is he your miracle child? She said, that's my grandson. She said, preacher, he was a horrible teenager. And shortly after turning 18, he got locked up in prison. Horrible crimes. She said, but while in prison, he met Jesus. And he has transformed his life. He is not that young man that he used to be. She said, he never misses church. And he stands back there and does whatever the pastor asks him to. And he passes out bulletins. He cleans. He sweeps. He shovels. She said, that is my miracle. Can I tell you today, and I'll close and we'll go to invitation, somebody needs to see that in us. We need to be that miracle for somebody. There's a neighbor. There's a partner at work. There might even be a partner at home that needs to see something so different in your life that though that you might not ever hear them say it, in their heart they say, Fred, you're a miracle. You're a miracle. So how about it, church? Could we